Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
453106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Joanna Fortune is with us once again for our parenting slot. Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Here's your first one. My son is three. He's covering his ears and saying he does not like the wind. He's also afraid of the water, thinking that the car is going to be flooded. This just started happening in the last week or so. Any help would be great. He also says that the flushing toilet is too loud.
Yeah, I mean, this is really recent. It's only going on for about a week. And, you know, often with small children, they come up with new behaviours. They linger a couple of weeks and then they go almost as quick and suddenly as they came. So I'd be keeping an eye on it for now. But that said, I mean, common familiar sounds around the house or around our environment can frequently make children anxious and fearful. Mm. And sometimes it's about a certain feature in the noise rather than the sound itself altogether. Is there any kind of common frequency feature in all of these sounds that are bothering him? And again, I would say, you know, remember, expressing an opinion and saying what you like or dislike, that's really common at this age. And it's when they begin to flex that independence and asserting themselves and saying, I know what I want. I like this. I don't like that. So there's a little bit of that. Now, all of that being said, I would consider an assessment with an occupational therapist who could do a sensory profile for you. I'm always a fan of just ruling things out. And particularly because we know that when it comes to any issues like this, early intervention is always the best. So if that is something that you can access and you can do that either privately or through your GP, making a referral to your early years team, I would do that. As I said, if only to rule it out and say it's not anything to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Otherwise, have a chat to him about the noises. What about the noises is bad? Get creative with it. Make up a song about the wind. Play little games where you can get a little styrofoam packing ball. You know, you can get them in arts and crafts shops in packets of different sizes and play at blowing it over and back to each other, doing big winds and little winds. Get a piece of paper and make it a fan. You know, really play with the things that are bothering him and see, does that help him to break it down and say, well, they're not so scary. Mm. But if not, then I'd follow up with an occupational therapy referral.
How do I help my four-year-old boy who refuses to let anyone help him when he's struggling with a task? It could be anything from putting a toy together to zipping a jacket up. He will shout no when anyone tries to help. He will then get frustrated but still won't take help.
Yeah, he's at that lovely age. He wants to be independent, but is still actually very dependent on you and other adults in his life. And that leads to frustration, but also lacks the emotional language to explain all of that to you. So can only express that frustration behaviourally. So I would say that explains a lot of what's going on. Again, if he's four, if he's in a preschool, you know, they do encourage children to do a lot of things for themselves. That's very much encouraged and the effort involved is praised and reinforced. So he may be trying to do as the other kids can do and do it for himself. Maybe model asking him for help, you know, as the parent, that you say, oh, I need your help with something, or can you help me do whatever it is? And then afterwards, thank him for helping you and put in that little caveat. Thank you for helping me. Everybody needs help sometimes and it's okay to ask for help. Don't make it a big kind of here's your teaching moment. You know, don't flag it too hard.
Yeah.
But just through repetition of that, you're letting him know that it's not anything that he can't do, but everybody, even grown-ups, need help sometimes and it's okay to ask for it. I'd also make a list for him of all the things that he can do without any trouble and maybe assign some chores that are going to afford him some independence and increased responsibility, little age appropriate things that he's now in charge of and that you don't do for him. And really praise him for, look how big you're getting, you can do all of these things. I think that's going to help. But a lot of this is frustration because, of course, when you're four, you want to do everything yourself and you're just not able. It's hard to be small in a big world.
It is amazing, really, when you think about it. We all have a lifetime of frustration in the sense of trying to master various things.
And even as soon as you nail it, there's something else that comes along. Yeah. So it's a constant rolling piece. And especially when you don't have the emotional language as yet, and we certainly wouldn't expect a four-year-old to be able to emotionally self-regulate and express themselves. You know, the only thing you can do is yell, no, leave me alone at it.
Yeah.
Maybe add 5 or 10 minutes into your routine so that there's extra time for him to master that task, if he is so determined to do it himself. Because if you're under pressure and in a hurry and you're going, come on, come on, let me do it for you, that's only going to add to the situation.
In the mornings.
Yeah.
My granddaughter is almost 8 years old and my daughter is very concerned about how to deal with her at the moment as she's having daddy issues. My granddaughter was born when my daughter was 18 and she and the dad had broken up before she was born. My daughter has been in a new relationship for the past 5 years and has a 2-year-old son with her new partner. He lives with her on a part-time basis. My granddaughter's dad is not a constant in her life, but is in her life, albeit very ad hoc. And she's put him on a pedestal. She has been really mean to her stepdad recently and is blaming him for her parents' separation. No amount of reasoning with her is working. She's saying she hates him and it is his fault her parents aren't together. She's also saying that she is the only one in her class whose parents aren't together. The fact that her little brother has both parents is also causing her a lot of upset. Could you advise us what way should we handle this very upsetting situation for my poor granddaughter?
Yeah.
Ah, the poor little thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a very upsetting situation, not only for your poor granddaughter, but also your daughter and her partner as well. I mean, this is stressful for everybody involved. I mean, at 8 years old, testing boundaries is really to be expected. And that being said, it is incumbent on us parents, while children test boundaries, that we hold the boundaries. She is still an 8-year-old child and it isn't acceptable for her to be, as this says, really mean to her stepdad. She does need to be challenged on that.
Mm.
And a boundary around who are the parents and who are the child needs to be put into place there. And that being said, you know, you can say that and then there's that empathic piece of, oh, that poor little girl is just struggling to make sense of all of these pieces in her world. Dad's involvement, her biological dad, he's not a constant. He's in her life. It's ad hoc. She's put him on a pedestal. I'm wondering if there's a way of asking him to step up a bit more, being very direct and saying, look, she needs you right now. And if you can be more available or more consistently available so that we know it's every Wednesday or every second Friday or whatever it might be, if it's a constant and predictable, that's going to help her. The other piece I'd be looking at here is that her mum, ideally her dad as well, but if that's not an option, her mum sits her down and tells her the truth that mum and dad were not together when you were born. We were really young when we met each other and we decided that while we could love you, we couldn't love each other enough to stay together. We're not together and we weren't together even before the new partner came along. And break it down for her and be very clear, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, I wonder, does the dad have a new partner?
Well, that's very little about him is in here, so it's hard to know. But if she's hanging on to, you know, as many children of separated parents do, a fantasy that one day mommy and daddy will get back together, it really is time to help her understand that that's not going to happen. I mean, it's unusual, but it's certainly not unheard of that she's the only one in her class whose parents aren't together.
Mm.
But again, it's about helping her understand that she has so many people in her life that love her. She has her mum and dad. She clearly has her grandparent here and she has her stepdad and making lists. Look at everyone who loves you. But again, I'm going to come back to, you want to empathize with the fact that it's hard for her to see her little brother have both parents together, but also re-emphasize that her stepdad is there to care for her too.
Mm. And he's been there. I mean, it must be
kind
of hard on
him.
He's been there 5 years, most
of
her life.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're saying here he lives with them on a part-time basis. So again, I'm just aware of coming in and out of children's lives and how they understand that. So I would go with reinforcing boundaries and honesty. That doesn't mean punishing her all the time, but really making it clear you cannot speak to your stepdad or your mum in this way. It's not acceptable.
Mm.
And there are consequences if you keep doing it. But we understand this is hard for you. Let us help you make sense of it. I think at 8 years old, she could hear a fairly honest narrative that mum and dad are not going to be together.
Yeah.
But I think she needs her dad more reading into this, the ad hoc piece and that he's not a constant. I think actually you know, when you don't have enough of him, it's easy to put someone on a pedestal when you don't see or hear from them that often.
Plus, he's probably, well, I know I'm inferring here a bit, but maybe it's not a situation where she's going to stay in his house and he does the humdrum things. It's off to go to the zoo, and
exactly,
he's the fun one.
Exactly.
You know?
So, I mean, who's not going to love that? So I think if it's possible to reach out and ask him to step up a bit more, I would certainly do that. And again, if he could, and if it is appropriate, I don't know the whole ins and outs of this situation, to have him there for that sit down conversation about mum and dad not being together, that would be helpful, because it will prevent the little girl again blaming mom and her partner that's the reason, if it's coming from both parents saying we're not together and we weren't together even before your mum met this guy.
Una says she's clearly feeling different and feels like she's standing out. Would it be a good idea to tell her all families are in different shapes and sizes? Some don't have mammies or daddies around all the time, and it's normal. Una. Also, if she says she's the only one in her class, does she know that for sure? And if she does know that for sure, that sounds like other kids have been saying this something to her.
Or that she's been sussing out. So it definitely sounds like a conversation. I mean, it is possible she's the only one, but it would be unusual in our current environment and climate. It would be unusual. So, and again, I think that's a really good idea to normalise that families are about who's in your family and loves you and takes care of you. And that looks different in every house.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a controversial one. Would Joanna have an opinion on the best age to start primary school? My son will be 4.5 this September. I'm not sure whether to start him this year or next year. Any tips on how to decide?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have an opinion, but that's what it is, because it really depends on your child and you know them better than anyone else does. I think if you have a hesitation, if you're in doubt that they might not be ready, wait.
Yeah.
Basically, the way I look at school and children is they are going to be in formal structured education for years. Like if they go to third level, you could be looking at the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. So holding back 1 year now isn't actually going to cost them anything in the long run.
Yeah.
And it is much better that your child be emotionally mature enough for that separation, for that independence, and for being able to sit still and learn and transition from one task to another, from indoors to outdoors, back to indoors. I mean, it's a lot for little kids to manage. So I would say, in general, being older helps children. But if you have a 4.5-year-old that you know is very savvy, is very together and is ready, then put them into school, because another year in preschool under the ECHI system might not be enough to stimulate and engage them. Mm. So you could end up with a very bored child on your hands, just a couple of months in. So again, why don't you reach out and talk to your Montessori preschool teachers, because they're very clued in to what children are able for, and they've been observing him while he's been under their training. So ask them what they think and then go with your gut on it. But if in doubt, wait.
It's a tough one, given that for many parents, if at the moment the child is in a creche or preschool of some sort that is being paid for, and it's a decision then about saving yourself a lot of money a month.
Absolutely. And I don't want to minimise that and say, but it's in the child's best interest, because actually we have to be very sensible and practical, and finances also impact a child's best interest, let's be honest. So if he has another year available to him, if he's only done 1 year and there is another year available, then that's an option. But again, you have to factor that into your decision making. At 4.5, he is developmentally old enough, but it's if he is emotionally mature enough.
Mm.
And not all 4.5-year-olds are. Some of them will go in and they'll struggle and they'll have issues, and you'll be parenting through that. Whereas another year he'd go in and not look back and be well able to manage it.
Yeah.
So I'd say go with your gut on it. There isn't a right or wrong per se. It's different for every child. Some children and parents listening will be, oh my goodness, if I had kept my child another year, it would have been a disaster. And you're probably right. If your 4.5-year-old is showing signs that they are ready, that they can handle prolonged separation from you, that you have seen evidence that they can start and complete a task independently of you, that they're not coming seeking you out all the time, they're showing you signs that they're ready to do more independent stuff and to handle a school day.
Yeah. Okay, we do have to take a break. After that, the 15-year-old just brought home his new girlfriend, and of course she's dreadful. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. On the subject of what age the kids should start school, Louise says it's worth considering what age they'll be entering secondary school. Mm-hmm. A boy who is a year younger than girls in his year may flounder. I suppose it makes more of a difference when they're entering secondary school, perhaps, what age
they are. It can do. I mean, it does, no matter what age they are, because again, that's a huge transition in their lives, from being the biggest in a small school to the smallest in a big school is a huge transition for children to make. And yeah, definitely having an extra few months or a year on your side, maturity-wise and even emotional resilience-wise, is going to stand to you. But again, it is different, you know, child to child. They just don't come in all the one uniform shape and size.
Yeah, it's so true. My 15-year-old son brought home his first girlfriend this week, and to be honest, she's dreadful. She's rude, uses bad language, and has absolutely no manners. She's a complete snowflake. My God, how much of a conversation did you have with her? I can't stop my son from seeing her, but I'd like to show him he can do better. Is there a way to show him this?
Leave this alone. Yes. Leave it alone. That's, I mean, oh my goodness, stay away from this. I mean, first of all, he's brought home his first girlfriend. So for any parent, and I don't know if this is a mum or a dad writing this in, it's difficult when your child brings home a first boyfriend or girlfriend. And, you know, whatever fantasy you had, my son is going to have this perfect partner. You know, it's very difficult for anyone in reality to measure up to that. So maybe she doesn't do good first impressions. I would always say give the girl a second chance. Do things. And again, it's a lot of what I'm about to say depends on tone rather than what you're saying. So when I say ask him how he thinks it went, you know, him bringing her home and meeting the parents, you don't want to be like, you know, so how do you think that went, huh? You know, you want to be like, oh, so you brought her home, you know, were you happy with how it went? That kind of a tone. You know, wonder about, you
know, he's 15. What's he going to say?
He was grand. Yeah, yeah. But what does he like about her so much? And whatever he gives you or doesn't give you in response, I think it's important that you say she's welcome to visit again.
Yeah.
And keep that open, because if you say she is not good enough for you, you can do better, she's rude, she's this, she's blah, 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 then what you're going to do is make her very, very appealing. Mm. And he needs to work all of that out for himself.
My guess is he knows already. I'm guessing this is from Mammy, and Mammy's body language spoke volumes about this young woman when she walked in the door.
I think just give her a chance, you know. And, you know, when you say you'd like to show him he can do better, whatever you do, don't say that. Just don't say that. Maybe share.
Oh, that's a lovely young girl. Look at her now. She does Irish dance. What about her now? Yeah.
But maybe share stories of how you knew that your spouse was right for you, and just keep a conversation going. But he's not going to want to talk about this a huge amount with you. Mm. Keep your door open. Give the girl another chance and be tolerant. If you're not, you know, mad about her, at least can you tolerate her for his sake until he sees that this isn't the person for me, and he will.
And he's 15. Sure, isn't that the whole process, is making mistakes and having his heart broken? And then, and perhaps, you know, when that happens, when he has his heart broken, there might be a 5-minute window where he might actually open up and talk to you, and then take advantage of that. And
by going out with someone who's not ideal for you, you work out why they're not and who is a good fit for you, and you make better choices going forward. You know, sometimes it takes people many, many goes to work that out.
Yeah. Tell the parents to not say a word. If they tell him not to see her, it will only make him want to see her more. Say nothing. If she's that awful, he'll soon figure it out himself. He's 15. 15-year-olds are fickle. Maybe the things that Mammy thinks are awful are the very things he finds attractive about her.
Absolutely. Because at 15, you know, teenagers go through this process of estrangement where they try consciously to differentiate themselves from their parents and seek out new interests and people that are completely opposite.
Yeah. My 8-year-old daughter has had night terrors every night for the past 2 weeks. Without fail, she wakes up screaming and crying at around 3 or 3:30. She's now too scared to even fall asleep. I've no idea how to help her. What should I do?
I almost have more questions than answers when I read this, because there's a couple of things. I mean, night terrors and nightmares often get, you know, the titles get crossed over, and it's important to ascertain, is it a nightmare or a night terror? Night terrors typically happen in the first few hours of sleep. It's very difficult to wake children up when they're in a night terror. They could be screaming, thrashing, roaring, but they're not awake, and it's actually very difficult to rouse them out of that state. They're most common between the ages of 2.5 and 6, but that wouldn't mean that they wouldn't linger longer. Usually by adolescence or puberty, they have petered out and they can reappear at later stages with a stress trigger. A night terror is all about, basically, the smooth transition between sleep stages has gotten disrupted. There's a glitch. So again, what I'm asking about this is, because she's waking up screaming and crying at 3 or 3:30, a nightmare usually happens in the middle of a child's sleep.
Yeah.
And often they would remember the thing that woke them. Whereas with a night terror, they have no idea of what was happening. And at best, you might be able to get them to identify, was there a strong sensation?
With night terrors, can it be the case that they don't remember it at all?
At all. Absolutely. When you wake them up, they're looking at you going, what are you doing in my room?
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's possible. So if there is a dream and she remembers it, consider this might be more in the nightmare territory. Do a bit of exploration with her. And then because this is happening in the last couple of weeks only, and there's no reference that she's had these since early childhood, is there a trigger? What is anything going on at home or school that could be making her more anxious and it's playing out in her sleep?
Mm.
So you have a little bit of exploratory work to do with this. If it's a nightmare, there's a couple of things you could do, and it's something she remembers. You could have her draw it out. You could have her draw out the bit that she really is the worst bit that wakes her, and you could have her draw a new scene as if she's a movie director and can say, cut out the bit that she doesn't like, input a new scene to make a different ending. She brings the more positive picture now to her bedroom, sticks it on her wall where she can see it when she wakes to reinforce that image, that impression. If it goes on any longer and you're not getting any clearer with it, she might benefit from seeing somebody, a child psychotherapist or somebody who could do a few sessions just to see, is there something that's representing an anxiety trigger?
Yeah.
But I think as a parent, you could explore a number of avenues with her before you go down that road.
My son is 14 years of age and he suffers from very bad eczema flare-ups around his body and face. We're trying different treatments, but it's still not under control. He's a great boy, but at school he's been subjected to name-calling and it's affected his confidence, especially in sport. There was a bad incident when another boy refused to play rugby with him as he might have to touch his skin. I don't know how to help him as it's not a quick fix. My poor boy is really down about it. How can I help him?
Yeah, this is really difficult because, you know, if the eczema is the trigger, and you're absolutely right, eczema is not a quick fix and it's something that you manage rather than resolve generally.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's in a very visible place. I mean, self-esteem, generally speaking, comes from within, you know, not without. It typically stems from us having strong satisfaction in our abilities. That could be music, academics, a particular subject. I'm picking up in this that he plays rugby. That could be something that he's good at. I'd be looking at what gives him pleasure, what does he enjoy, and reinforcing that, because a physical condition like eczema that's noticeable will of course impact self-esteem. And if you can't magic away the eczema, which of course you can't, you have to focus on investing in reinforcing and building a strong support system of family and friends, focus on personal strengths. And that's really all you can do. Now, you said you've tried different treatments, but I don't want to assume you have or have not consulted a dermatologist. So if you haven't, I would consult a dermatologist who may be able to look at dietary triggers as well as external treatment options. Because eczema, if you haven't had it from young childhood, it can occur in teenage years due to the body's hormonal profile shifting.
Yeah.
So it can be an adolescent thing. So they're all the things you can do. There's a couple of things though in this that would still bug me, is that he's been subjected to name calling. He's 14. Like, we're talking about kids who really should know better. He's 14, name calling, another child refusing to play rugby, didn't want to touch him, which I can only infer he's afraid he'll catch whatever this is. So it might be worth talking to the school about addressing intolerances like this with information, not saying so-and-so skin condition here, that's what we're talking about. But having a chat with them about health, about general health and well-being, and about, you know, the whole bullying and tolerance conversation, because it does sound like the school have a role to play in this. They're not going to increase his self-esteem. That's up to you as parent. But they could make day-to-day interaction in school a little bit easier if they knew about it.
Can a school do that for 14-year-old boys whose nicknames for the most part will be insults about each other, and everybody has a weakness and it's identified?
No, totally, I get that. And I think that they can, in terms of making it a general discussion about tolerance, bullying, not name calling, what effect that has. If they framed it in a piece about youth mental health, I've done talks for schools where they bring in someone like me to talk about youth mental health, and I'll address that stuff as part of overall, because young people have, even 14-year-old boys, become more sensitive and attuned to concepts of depression, anxiety and mental health because it's been spoken about so much. So it could be a proactive part of something they're already doing in the curriculum and address it that way. And if it has been addressed, then there is a way of, if a teacher overhears a name being called, of pulling someone up on it. But no, you're right. Otherwise, I mean, there's no point in being kind of twee and idealistic. Mm. School can be really, really rough for some kids. It really can.
My son will not stop picking his nose. Every time I look at him, he's missing a finger that's shoved up his nostril. He then wipes his finger on me, the couch, the floor, his hair. Please help me to stop this rotten habit. He's three, by the way.
Oh, the last bit is the clue.
That's the clue, by the way. It's not a habit, it's a hobby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at this stage, distraction is your best tool. You know, first of all, you know, just to kind of the nose picking, children discover, oh, look at this, and I can put my finger up, and oh, I better keep doing that. And, you know, when they're younger, they do it and they want to put their finger up your nose as well.
Yes.
It's all, you know, about discovery, exploration and discovery. It lingers a bit if you've an allergy prone child. They tend to do it a bit more because due to the allergies, runny noses, sneezes, there tends to be more up there for them to go after.
Mm.
So that can be an appealing thing. I would say don't nag him. He's three. Don't nag him. It's going to pass. Children do outgrow it, if only through social norms, because they're chastised into, that's rude, don't do it. And in the meantime, use distraction, keep his fingers occupied. When you see him doing it, instead of saying, don't pick your nose, start singing, you know, the song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. But if you're happy and you know it, wiggle your fingers, wave your hands. Clap your hands, flap your hands, flap your arms. Make loads of things that mean his hands, his fingers are occupied.
Yeah.
Do a little finger stack with him instead of a hand stack, where you put your index fingers on top of each other and you make a stack as though you were doing a stack of hands. Use finger puppets. Basically, have him hold something and do songs that involve physical actions when you see this happening. That's going to distract him and redirect his focus. But otherwise, you know, also, could he be a curious child? I would say yes, he's three. I've yet to meet one who isn't really curious. Could he be bored? In which case, look at what kind of stimulus level. If he's sitting in front of a TV for periods of time, kids will zone out a bit, and that's when you're more likely to see them do habits or behaviours like that. So keep him occupied and distract him, and try not to stress out about it.
Yeah. Though, yeah.
And if he gets a reaction
it's more the wiping that would bother me
more.
If
he's getting a reaction, he's going to think, you know, like little 3-year-olds do, oh, it's disgusting and it makes you react, I must keep doing it. So have a tissue in your pocket or a hanky all the time and make sure he knows that's what he has to do, or put one in his pocket, even better.
Going back to the 15-year-old with the so-called dreadful girlfriend, someone's texted in this piece of advice. The parents should tell their son that they love the girlfriend. Should be gone in a week. Joanna, thanks really for coming into us. Joanna Fortune there. We're going to take a break. After that, an inter-abled relationship.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.